Well, good morning. Welcome to Bowmansville. I'd like to extend a special greeting to any guests or visitors that are worshiping with us this morning. I have two prayer requests this morning. One is for Wilmer and Emerson Neuswanger family. Their brother Melvin died unexpectedly yesterday. Please keep them in your prayers. And also for Bob and Dixie and the boys. Dixie just left to go and talk to the doctors because they got some bad news that Bob has three different types of blood infections and the doctors aren't sure what they're going to do yet. So please pray for them. And I'll pray for them here in a minute. As we enter into worship of God, thank Him for all that He has done for you. Thank Him for sending Jesus, sending Him to die on the cross for our sins, sending Him that we may have eternal life. Praise God for His love and His mercy that He shows to us every day. Psalms 86:5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call on you. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this morning to worship you, to praise you. As we enter into your presence, show us more of who you are. Show us more of your love that you have for us. Pour a fresh anointing of your Spirit on us. Change us into what you want us to be. Show us your will. Lord, be with the Neuswanger family as they're grieving this unexpected loss of their brother and family member. Give them peace and comfort. Just pour out your mercy and love upon them. Father, we continue to lift up Bob and Dixie and the boys to you. Give them wisdom to know what to do. Give them peace and comfort. We pray that the doctors will know what to do to bring healing to Bob's body. But we also pray that you will miraculously heal him and bring complete healing to his body. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for how you provided for us this week. I ask that you would bless this offering as we give back to you, to the Christian Education Sharing Fund. Lord, I ask, just thank you for all the Christian schools we have in the area. Lord, I ask that you would bless them, provide for them, and bless all the students who are involved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, now it's time for our children's message. So, kids, you can come forward and have a seat over here on this side. There's stuff over there. That's why. Colin thought I was playing some sort of trick and over here. Dylan, over here. This side. We changed it up this morning. So good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Good? Only good? Not wonderful, excellent, stupendous, awesome, bad? I think you should have kept it at good. So what are we celebrating this morning? Father's Day, yes. So did you guys do anything special for your dads today? Oh, you picked out your own Father's Day card. Well, that's special.
I had a hanger that we made in my class for Father's Day.
Okay, you made a project in class for Father's Day.
Nothing.
And yes, that was my own child, if you didn't catch that. Anybody else? Nothing. Oh, you didn't do anything for your dad either. Oh. Well, the day's not over yet.
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, you still got time yet. All day yet.
Nothing.
Boy, we got a lot of nothing here. Moms, you got to work on this a little bit. So, who is our father? God, yes. See, God is our heavenly Father. When Jesus tells us how to pray, he says, "Our Father in heaven." That's how that verse starts. Our Father in heaven. So this morning, we're going to look at a father in the Bible. We're going to look at Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. In the first part of the verse, in verses 1 and 2, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Well, that's kind of strange that a loving God who gave Abraham the gift of a son in his old age would tell him to go sacrifice him. You think Abraham was a little worried? Yeah, no, maybe. I think his mind was turning at about 1,000 miles an hour. God talked to Abraham and told him to go, and Abraham did it. Abraham and his son Isaac and a couple servants gathered some wood, and they carried fire along with them, and they set out. They reached the mountain where God told them to go. And this is where we're going to pick up the story in verses 7 to 17. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" See, Isaac knew something was up. Normally, they would have a lamb to take along for a burnt offering. He was like, something's not right. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. That means he tied him up and laid him on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Took the knife and was going to slay his son. He was going to kill him. But an angel of the Lord called out to him, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Do not lay a hand on your boy, on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your own son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. So you guys probably have heard this story before, right? Most of you have heard this story before? No? Well, see, God didn't want Abraham to kill his son. That's not who God is, and that's not what God wanted. God was testing him to see if he was willing to do it. Because Abraham could have walked away and said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I love my son more than God. But he proved that he loved his Father in heaven more than his own son. Because God stopped him when he saw that he was willing to sacrifice his son. Abraham was tested, and he passed the test. See, God, our Father, he gave us Jesus, his son, because we are his children, and he loves us so much. He gave his best for us. In chapter 22, verse 8, it says, God himself will provide the lamb. Did God provide the lamb? Yeah, in this story he did. But how else did God provide the lamb? I should say, when else did God provide the lamb? And who was it? Yes, Jesus. Jesus was the lamb that paid for all of our sins. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, our sins are forgiven. So remember to thank God for your Father that you have here on earth. But also remember to thank God for being a loving Heavenly Father. Not just today on Father's Day, but every day. So you guys were good listeners today. You may have a snack and go back to your parents. Ask them if you may have it. Well, again, I'd like to welcome you to Bowmansville. I'd like to thank you for your prayers on my behalf. They were felt very much this week. This was a very, very busy week for me. They were needed, and I appreciate them very much. On July 5th, 1908, a West Virginia church sponsored the nation's first event, explicitly in honor of fathers. A Sunday morning sermon in memory of the 362 men who had died in the previous December's explosions at the Fairmount Company coal mines in Monograph. But that was a one-time event commemorating the ones who were lost. It was not an annual holiday. The next year, a Spokane, Washington woman named Sonora Smart Dodd, one of six children raised by a widower, tried to establish an official event. It'd be the same as Mother's Day for male parents. She went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, government officials to drum up support for her idea. She was successful. Washington State celebrated the nation's first statewide Father's Day on June 19th, 1910. But it wasn't until 1972 that it became a national holiday. Those facts were from history.com. It gives you a little look at where Father's Day started and what we're celebrating. So, happy Father's Day. You may have been wondering about my outfit. Since I'm a father and it's Father's Day, I felt like, man, I'm going to dress how I wanted to. I went for Father's Day casual. Now, if you know me, flip-flops are definitely not my thing. I kind of despise flip-flops. I mean, you're walking in the sand and stuff's always flipping up at you as they walk, and they make that annoying sound, and they slip off your feet. I kind of despise flip-flops, but I'm wearing them anyway, just because I don't have any good sandals right now. So today we're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 18, and this is going to be our focus for today. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So what is this verse trying to say? Well, there are many places in the Bible where people saw angels who were representing God, or they had a vision. They may have been in the presence of God. Doesn't mean that they saw his face. Example, Exodus 33, 19 to 23. In the first part, it says that no one may see my face and live. We can't even see God's glory. His glory would be described as his power, his holiness, light, pureness, love that is surrounding him. In that story, it's where God and Moses are interacting, and Moses wants to see God's face, and God's like, you can't. So God hides Moses in a crack in the rock, and he puts his hand over him until he passes by. And then just at the right time, he would remove his hand so that Moses could catch a glimpse of his back. So now how are we supposed to see God and get to know our Father when we can't see him and look at him? Going back to John 1:18. The only one who has seen God, but God. Wait a minute. The only one who can look at God is God, but how am I supposed to see God if only God can look at God? That makes my brain hurt. That means we have no shot at seeing God, right? That we have no chance at looking at God. Well, maybe physically here on earth, yes. Maybe one day we will get to see God face to face when he calls us home to be with him. The rest of the verse goes on to say that the one and only who is at the Father's side. Okay, I get it now. It's Jesus. In the footnotes in my Bible, it says, or the only begotten. Well, depending on your version of the Bible, John 3:16 says he gave his only begotten son. So that confirms that it is Jesus. Here's the most important part of John 1:18. Has made him known. The one and only son has made him known. We can see God face to face because of Jesus. Jesus has made him known to us. Many of us have experienced God, experienced his presence. And Jesus is showing us God face to face in those moments when we experience God. We may physically not be able to see God face to face, but we can see him in our heart and our soul. Jesus has shown us the love of the Father, kindness, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, healing, power, holiness. Jesus didn't tolerate people turning his Father's house into a den of robbers in Matthew 21:12 when he went in and flipped over tables and drove out animals from the temple. Jesus fed thousands of people when they came to listen to him. God's power flowed through Jesus so a few small fish and a few loaves of bread could feed many. The people were being spiritually fed listening to Jesus, but God also loved them that much that he physically fed them as well. He cared for their needs. That was in Matthew 15. Jesus told a lot of parables so that people would understand God and who he is and what he was calling them to live a life that seeks him. So what am I going to do to see the Father? What are you going to do to see the Father? First, read and study what Jesus did in the Bible. See, Jesus is showing us the Father by the love and the compassion and everything that he does. When you study God's word, God's character will be revealed to you. It will be imprinted on your heart and your mind and in your soul. And it will bring you to a place where you can see God face to face. Second, spend time communicating with the Father. Spend time praying, having a conversation with God. It's not, God, I need this, or God, I want that, or it's really pouring out your heart. Father, I'm scared of this. Why does that person have to go through this illness or trial? God, I'm angry at you for taking my loved one away. The next part is listening. After you poured your heart out to God, spend time listening for God's answers. Wait for God to pour out his love on you and show you how much he cares for you. It goes back to the first part, may he reveal his answers through his word. Read and study God's word. He will show you a verse that will overwhelm you with his love and answer the questions that you have. You might not receive a definite answer, but you might receive the encouragement that God is there and he is working to trust in him. Doing this will bring you face to face with God himself. Building your relationship will take time. It's not something that's going to happen in a day. It's going to take time every day coming before God. Take time to sit at Jesus' feet and learn about the Father and how much he loves you. In Luke 10, 38 to 42, Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her. In verse 40, did you notice? Martha was distracted by all the preparations. But Mary went and chose to sit at Jesus' feet. Mary got something that was so much better by sitting and listening to Jesus and learning about the Father, and it won't be taken away from her. We can gain that too by sitting at Jesus' feet. In our verse, John 1:18, Jesus is showing us God. We need to show God to our children as fathers, just like our Heavenly Father does for us. We can't do that unless we're spending time with God regularly. So here at Bowmanville, there's some single men who aren't married and may wish they were and wish they had children. And there's some here who are married and can't have children. Part of this message is the same as my Mother's Day message. The kids that were up front here this morning for the children's message, they are your children. Be involved in their lives. You may be involved in other activities that mentor kids. The list of ways that you can show Jesus to generations is large. You could spend hours naming things that you can do to mentor kids and be a father figure to them. Here's a couple examples. Coach a sports team. Lead Bible studies. Teach Sunday school. Go do something fun with some kids. Teach them a skill. Just spend time with them. Be a father figure to someone. It may take time and effort, but that time and effort will be worth every second that you spent and all the energy to show Jesus to someone who needs a father figure. There may be some here this morning that had a painful relationship with their father. Don't believe Satan's lies when he tells you that you're unloved, unwanted, or a failure. Look towards Jesus so that you may see your Heavenly Father and how much he loves you and cares for you. You have a Father that loves you. We as fathers here on earth may fail. You can ask my kids, I fail. They're smiling right now. But our Heavenly Father is perfect. He will not fail you. Each one of us can and should grow our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Today we're celebrating earthly fathers, but don't forget to celebrate our Heavenly Father, God. Seek God every day and look at the model that Jesus has set for us. You may not see God directly face to face, but you will enter his presence and spend time with him, and you will see God in a different way. Jesus spent a lot of time away from his disciples, away from distractions, and he entered the presence of God in prayer. Well, that's easy. That's Jesus. He's God's son, right? Yes, Jesus did have a special relationship with God. Yet he didn't use any supernatural power to commune with God. He prayed and listened to his Father. This can be done and learned by everyone. You just have to seek God. Men of Bowmanville, keep seeking God's guidance. Keep seeking his wisdom and share it with the young people in your life. No matter how old you are. If you're 80, someone who's 40 is young. Share your wisdom with them. Doesn't matter your age. Share it, your time and your energy and your wisdom with children, whether they're yours or not. Could be your nieces or nephews or grandchildren. Share your wisdom. Show God to those around you. Let God's love pour out of you into someone else's life. Will you join me in prayer? God, our Father, thank you for giving us your Son so that we may see you. Thank you for the sacrifice you made in sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Father, that we can have a relationship with you as your children. Thank you for our earthly fathers who teach us about you and who you are. Give us wisdom and strength and energy for our families and those we mentor. Let everyone we interact with see you through us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just another reminder to pray for the Neuswanger family and Bob and Dixie and Betty Miller as well. Will you stand for benediction? Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. You're dismissed.